Michelle said.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Danny! Hey, Bo! I was like, get excited, man. Are you tired?
No, I wanted to go like, oh, start low. And then be like, we're in Houston.
We're in Houston.
That's
right, dude. This is so cool. It's great to be in your hometown. Great.
Hometown.
Great to be in my hometown.
Yeah. This is the primordial ooze in which John David Cole sprang from.
Ew.
Wow. Yeah, that's not all that great. But no, we obviously we've been doing this kind of, world tour. You know, a couple of our listeners have pointed out like, you know, it's cool y'all going around and everything else and, you know, want to create opportunities for people to meet y'all. But we know y'all are just doing this for y'all. Like, we know that's the case. And I mean, like, you know, you caught us red-handed. That's right.
There's some truth to that. We were hoping maybe this would turn into something that would, you know, give us a little more interaction with folk. We're going to try something this time and see how it turns out. Anyway, yeah, it's been fun, man. I'm glad to be back in Houston. Glad to be here with you. And man, the place that you have found for us to record is so swanky, dude.
Yeah.
We're in the Edo District, which is short for east of downtown.
That's right.
Man, we didn't know this coming into this deal, but this is like a three-story kind of townhouse thing.
That's just ridiculous.
Like a cool bachelor pad kind of deal. And the top floor of this thing is a rooftop patio.
It's like a rooftop deck, yeah.
And it is overlooking beautiful downtown Houston, Texas.
That's right.
And the skyline. It's really nice. And so, man, last night going out there, chatting with you for a while, just seeing all those lights in the background, it's really, really lovely.
It's a beautiful city, man. It really is.
It's great. It's hot. Hot down here.
It is hot. We're in the middle of a heat wave. But man, glad to be here recording with you in this beautiful air-conditioned space. And as you mentioned, we are trying something a little bit different this time where we are kind of just, we're trying to listen or meet up and we're just going to just try to hold court. We're just going to say, hey, everybody, we're going to be here at this time and
see what happens.
And, you know, hey, hopefully some of y'all got the message of the area and are able to join us and everything. I put it out on the podcast feed. And, you know, by the time this episode comes out, we will have known whether or not how it happened. And so that'll probably be on YouTube. So you can probably find that information there. But anyway, hopefully it'll be a lot of fun. You know, the great thing is we can finally, this is the way that I've always wanted it to be, where like when we got together, we already knew where the next place was so that as part of these episodes, we could talk about the next one. Right.
And now we can.
And now we finally can. John David, you and I, we've been all over this great country of ours, as far from New Orleans to Miami to Houston, you know, stretching the wide, vast array of Southeast United States. I think it's time for us to leave. I know we're like, we're going to travel around and go to places we've never been. No, man, we need to actually go someplace where we've never been before as Country Squire Radio.
Yeah.
And we need to go and we need to be at a place where there are pipe smokers. Okay. And
that's
like,
right.
Look, we got your emails. We're going to be reading some as part of this series. We know there were pipe smokers in Miami. We went really hard in the paint against Miami and that's on us. So that's that, you know, I'm just saying. So yes, there were pipe smokers in Miami and it wasn't just the two of us. Our apologies to our pipe smokers in Miami, but we need to go to a place where there is pipe smokers, where they are congregating. I'm talking about a place where you can go around, where you can smoke, where you can be a pipe smoker, a place where you can go and make memories and then bring those memories home, or even just if they happen there, they stay there. I'm saying that you and I take a gamble on the great people of this wonderful country and around the world to say, y'all come out and meet with us in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yes.
Now, I know what you're thinking. You want me to go to Las Vegas, Nevada for Country Squire Radio? Yes! I'm saying come out just for the sole purpose of meeting us. But you know what? Not just for that. That's good enough. Don't get me wrong. We're the freak show you want to see. Okay? Like, we're
worth the plane ticket.
we're worth the price of admission. This is very, very true. But like, so, and then, you know, Las Vegas, I know you're thinking, some of y'all are like, Las Vegas, you know, Sin City, it's crazy. Now, listen, we were just in New Orleans, okay? first of all, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. And second of all, Vegas is actually post-pandemic quite a lovely place. It's you can bring your kids to like most of it. Like,
it's kind of amazing. You know, I went there for the PCA convention.
Not the one you're thinking of. Or maybe the one that you are thinking of.
Maybe it is. Yeah, it's the Premium Cigar Association convention. And it was so family friendly, man. So family friendly.
It's crazy.
It's kind of weird.
It is very, very strange because I've been to Vegas in the pre pandemic world and I've been in the post-pandemic world, and it's almost like two different cities.
Yeah.
Because everybody cleared out. A lot of the services that you might find available didn't exactly work in a social distancing world.
Pandemic environment.
Right. And so like, it's actually quite nice. And I think that a lot of people have been like, I mean, like, this is good, you know? And it also opens up the market to a larger segment. Yeah.
But one thing we haven't mentioned is why Vegas?
Well, I think we just said that's where the freak, that's you and I are going to be there.
Well, that's the freak show, but there's other things there too.
Is something else happening while we're going to be in Vegas?
There is.
Oh, don't tell me. Is it the Las Vegas Pipe Show?
Ow!
Ow! Ching, 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 ching,
ching, ching, ching. Las Vegas International Pipe Show, man. We're just so excited to be there this October 21 through 23rd. So exciting to our good friend Brian Levine is putting this thing together. It's kind of turning from a regional show into an international blue blood pipe show. I mean, he's just the effort that he's putting into it is really admirable and really, really excited to see where this thing is going to go. And frankly, excited to be a part of its rebirth and refocus and all that. So anyway, thank you, Brian, for inviting us to come. We're eager to get out there. And yeah, man, that Saturday, which is October 22nd, we'll be broadcasting live from the showroom floor.
That's right.
Man, just really, really fired up about that. So
it's going to be so much fun. Like, we're going to get a chance to see pipe carvers and pipe enthusiasts. You know, we talk about us, but the reality is the freak show goes far beyond us. I mean, as we just mentioned, Brian Levine is going to be, you know, the mayor of the event. He's going to be out and about. You've got folks from the YouTube community, from the podcast community, all of these folks come in. They've got a studio or a studio stage, which we will be performing live at 5 o'clock on that Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. And so, y'all, this is not going to be an event you want to miss. If you've never been to a pipe show before, this is the one.
Yeah.
Like when I say that, I don't just mean like, oh yeah, come on out because it's another pipe show. No. Like, y'all know I haven't been to a pipe show in a long time. I'm getting I'm dusting out, you know, actually like getting out the basement.
It's going to be really exciting to see you get to interact with in this crew. But man, not just me and Bo, we want to see you. We're excited about seeing
absolutely
you. So come out there, support the Las Vegas International Pipe Show, support all these great carvers and tobacconists that will be there and pipe enthusiasts and man, come support Country Squire Radio. Come
That's listen. Exactly
we'd love
right.
to, we'd love to see you. We'd love to meet you. We'd love to hug your neck and hoist a pint with you and smoke a bowl.
That's right. Details for the pipe show are in the show notes for this episode. So you can find it all there. Hey, want to give a shout out this week. Of course, this pipe podcast would not be made possible without the amazing support of our patrons at the Country Squire Radio International Pipe Club. Big shout out to new Squire member, Ross Loaf. Loftice.
Ross, thank you so much for your support of Country Squire Radio.
I think I'm including a W maybe? Loftice. Ross Loftice. Ross, thank you so much for joining us and being part of the Squire level to help make this show happen.
Absolutely.
All right, man. It's been a minute since you and I have been together. And
I know.
Yeah, a lot's happened. You know, a lot's been going on.
Yeah.
But we've been talking about just, you know, you were kind of updating me last night about some things happening at the shop and just, you know,
that
rush of business that kind of brings with it all of the challenges of managing the business.
Yeah, sure.
And kind of gets away from that kind of dreaming aspect and kind of wanting to get back to that dream. Mm-hmm. I resonate with that, man. I've been kind of in the mindset of like that creative headspace a lot lately.
Yeah.
You know, I referenced very recently on our Calico Jack episode, this story, right? And it's interesting because from the listener standpoint, that was like 2 weeks ago. But from yours and my standpoints, that was a couple of months ago, right? Mm-hmm. And in those couple of months, I kind of made the decision that I'm ready for that story to get out my head and actually like find a home.
It's exciting.
I'm very excited, man. Yeah. We're working on, Podasteri is working on a audio drama series that, you know, I'll be sharing more about in the future and really excited to share with folks. I don't want to waste too much time at the top of the episode, but I did want to kind of make mention of this because it's an exciting process. We just brought on a script writer for the series. It's all plotted out. Ideally, we'd like to do 3 seasons. Right now, we're just settling for getting the pilot off the ground.
Get it out there, man. And, see where it goes.
Yeah. So anyway, if you want to hear more information or learn more information about that, I'll probably be doing kind of some those talking head smoking my pipe on the YouTube channel and kind of keeping people updated with how that's going. So
great.
Yeah. Check that out. And we'll learn more about that
we
there.
Look forward to tuning in.
All right, man. One of my favorite episodes that we did recently. I say recently, I guess it was several, like half a year
it's
now.
It's been in the past year.
three. Yeah.
Yeah.
In the past year was our top three 10 art episode.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, top three, of course, this is where we take kind of the very clickbaity approach to like, hey, here's three things, you know, and we talk about them.
Right.
But, you know, the great thing about that episode is that really allowed us to talk about a space that's so very important when it comes to pipe tobacco, and that is how it is presented. The first thing that you see, the first thing that you interact with, right?
And, you know, we're such suckers for this.
We
right?
really are.
I mean, and you know, admittedly, you understand why people put so much effort into these beautiful tobacco tins. It's just, you know, like with cigar boxes or, you know, the Coca-Cola bottle, the shape of it, you know, all these things that has such a sensory impact on us. And man, there's just a great legacy of that in the pipe tobacco world.
I think about the modern era, and, you know, we talk a lot about some of these newer pipe tobaccos that are coming out, and, you know, the way in which the 10 art either communicates, like, I guess succeeds or fails, like all of them have a goal of trying to tell a story. But there's a way in which, especially kind of in our, you know, buying, right, you know, like our age range, our market, whatever you want to say, millennials, essentially, a buddy of mine used to call it a built-in BS meter. And because we've been inundated with advertising from the moment we were like children.
Yeah,
and so like the way in which we can recognize when is a product or a story around a product real and tangible.
Yeah.
And when is it just like faux? You know what I mean? Like, when is it just, okay, yeah, you're saying the thing or you're doing the thing or this
but
is...
But we know you're just
trying to appeal to us. And the frustrating thing is when we know it's fake, but it still kind of appeals to us.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Which does happen.
Which happens a lot, you know? Yeah.
But I think we as pipe smokers, we tend to lean more towards that, really wanting the authentic. Mm-hmm. Now, not at the expense of... I mean, like, we want good quality products, and we're not going to let bad marketing get in the way of, like, a good quality product.
Yeah.
And we're not going to let good marketing, you know, force us to buy something that's a bad product, right?
Unless we do, but then regret it and don't do it again.
Exactly. But all of that being said, it's all tied into the whole product experience. When we were doing the research for that episode, I think we both had this tinge of jealousy, maybe despair. I don't know, this seeing the soiree of various pipe tin arts that have been throughout the years. We looked at the modern era and we commented on the modern era.
Yeah, sure.
But we kept on finding some like really special
gems.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like some tins that existed and probably don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe the blends have become something else. Maybe the companies have like completely disappeared.
Yeah.
Maybe they got bought out and now that blend is now a different name under a different tin and everything else.
Sure. Yeah.
But it really made us like look back and be like, why didn't we go vintage? Like, if we're going to talk about some classic, really, really awesome art.
Yeah.
In so many different ways, especially when it comes to pipe tobacco, it's the vintage style. And the great thing is that appeals to us, right? Because we look at that and be like, well, that's real.
But it is.
Exactly.
Right? It's not pretending to be anything.
Yes.
Because it was the thing.
It was the thing. And some of it was trash, but some of it is so good.
Well, some of the tobacco was probably not great.
Yes.
That probably has a lot to do with why some of those tobaccos aren't around anymore.
Right.
But at the same time, man, the effort that these guys put into these vintage pipe tobacco tins back when pipes were king, man.
I was about to say the competition was way bigger.
It was cutthroat.
Yeah.
It was cutthroat. And you had to, you really had to do what you could to stand out, you know, so you wouldn't get pushed to the back of the, you know, shelf at the drugstore, you know?
Oh, man. Okay. It actually kind of reminds me of, you know, like the craft beer like market now is just like massive. Like you go to the shop and like the grocery store
It's huge. It's almost, it's really too big.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, that's exactly like there's kind of that element. If you kind of imagine that, but it's pipe tobacco all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what you're dealing with. And so there's so many more options to choose from. That being said, I am highly curious if we ended up choosing at least one, if not more, of the same tins.
The thing is, there are so many different options that I bet we didn't.
I don't know.
But I don't know either.
I think maybe at least one of these might, but we'll see.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So we're going to do it like we did in the past, but we each have three. So it's three for you, three for me, that sort of thing. Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
I'll go first.
All right, go for it.
Yeah. So the first one I pulled out, this is a tin a lot of tobacco collectors and enthusiasts are going to recognize and be familiar with. It is Edgeworth Slices.
I knew it!
Did you know it?
I told you we'd have to say, like, that was the one that I thought, I bet he's going to pick
this
one.
Was it really?
It's one of mine.
Oh, man.
Talk about the blue tin, right?
Crumb, yeah.
No, it looks like the big top, yeah.
Blue tin, it's beautiful. It's just got this intricate, I don't know, Broadway show kind of look to it. It's just very elegant. You know, these are highly collectible tins.
Yes.
You look around and see folks and if they do collect tins, the Edgeworth Slice tin is going to be one of the first ones they go to. I love the just little hint of pastel blue patina that's on this thing. The diamond that's in the background that's kind of got these little flourishes, the little facets that are around it. And of course, you know, just a beautiful presentation. So Edgeworth Extra High Grade Plug Slice Smoking Tobacco from LarisandBro.co, Richmond, Virginia, USA. So Edgeworth, you know, hasn't been available, you know, for quite some time, but, you know, these tins are really something to look at.
What I love about this, man, is that the tin really stood out to me because it communicates that big circus, big event type of experience. But as you mentioned, the blue, everything, it's blue. Like you've got kind of the light blue, you've got the darker blue, you've got the navy blue, you've got the royal blue. Like it's just as if you took kind of the imagery that goes around the what's the big circus, the somebody
like Barnum and Bailey,
like the Barnum and Bailey style, and then you like put like a blue sheet over it and then like did that Photoshop thing where you kind of make it all meld with everything.
Has that
else
patina that, you know, whatever you call that filter or whatever.
It's so classic, and it does this job of taking that iconography and making it its own without it, how do I say this? You know, like every single, like a lot of coffee shops just like rip off Starbucks.
Yeah.
You know, just in their logo and everything else. And you're like, well, there's some where it's like, okay, you know, it's, you know, that circular style and kind of icon and then the text around. Sometimes you see that and it's like, oh, well, because Starbucks has done such a good job at marketing itself as the coffee, right? Yeah. You kind of recognize if that style, if I see that style before even reading the text, I know instantly this is a coffee shop. Mm-hmm. But then you see some that are just a straight up ripoff. You know what I mean?
They didn't even try.
Exactly. This kind of has a similar feel where it's not a straight up ripoff or anything like that. But they've taken, you know, the excitement of a brand.
Yeah.
And they've put it in the way they're actually like, you know, presenting their tin. Mm-hmm. And I think it's fantastic. I would love one of these tins. I wanted to ask, have you ever tried, like, have you ever had any Edgeworth?
I never have.
Yeah.
I've got one of these tins at home.
It's
actually in my office on a bookshelf, you know, with some other pipe related stuff that I've got displayed. But yeah, I've never tried Edgeworth tobacco. Never have.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. So there you go. That's one of both of our top threes.
Yeah, it's great. Okay. Well, we knocked that out.
All right. I'm nervous now because like, what if we go like back to back and we have all three of these?
I hope that doesn't happen.
All right. We'll see.
This might wind up being a shorter episode.
I'm gonna throw it back to you.
Okay. You're gonna throw it back to me?
Yeah. All right. What you got?
So next, a tobacco I've definitely not tried, and I just think is an interesting presentation and one that I'm excited to talk about, and it's Fashion Cut Plug.
Okay.
Pipe tobacco. Okay. Fashion Cut Plug. This tobacco, my understanding is actually was produced to be chewed or smoked, which is, you know, very common for a lot of old-fashioned pipe tobaccos. But this is one of those presentation-style tins. It looks like it was a larger tin. Not really able to find out a lot of information on this particular tobacco, although the tins are very collectible and you can find them around. But
wow. It looks like how big is that out of curiosity? Because these images make it look like a lunchbox.
I get the impression that it's a decent, like probably, you know, 3 to 6 ounce tin. And so it's a decent sized tin, although I'm not sure about that. The reason I think it's that big is because it's got a handle on top.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a hand. If you can imagine like your favorite square tin of tobacco, but it's a real thick can. We're talking, you know, metal can here. But then on the lid, it's actually got this kind of vaulted lid that curls up a little bit. It's taller in the middle than it is on the sides.
Yeah.
And at the very peak of the vaulted part of the lid, there's this handle that folds up. And it's just this really kind of interesting caddy that, you know, you've got for your pipe tobacco there.
You could almost envision like somebody going off to work. They got like a little sandwich.
A little lunch pail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
And then also it's something like once you get done with the tobacco, this tin is going to be very functional.
Right.
It'll be very, you know, you put your pipe accessories in there, your little trinkets or
fishing tackle.
You know, yeah. I mean, you could use it for all kinds of stuff.
This is really beautiful.
Really neat. But it features on the front, you've just got the big word fashion in red. It's kind of a block letter look here with some serifs, you know, make the, you know, it just looks real clean. And then cut plug tobacco. And then you're looking at a gentleman and his lady. They are walking in what appears to be a little meadow next to their parked car in the distance.
It does appear that it's Lord Grantham taking Lady Cora out for a promenade. Is the driver is driving along the way trying to take their daughter.
Is that Highclere? Is that Downton Abbey in the background?
It does look very Downton Abbey, yeah.
But that's kind of the idea. You've got this, you know, gentleman wearing his tuxedo jacket and white tie with his beautiful top hat and his bride, we assume, next to him with her fur and her elegant purse and white gloves. And so, and they're just kind of walking in this meadow. It's just very classic, very clean. It's something that, you know, I think you'd be really proud to pull out. And you know, this was the thing about a tobacco like this is that when they came out with this, that's how people dressed. Like, you know, if we did this today, it'd be like, oh, that's how people dressed in the 30s. No, like if you were high class or, you know, super elegant in the 30s, like, no, that is how you dress.
Right.
Yeah.
This is the look. Well, I got to ask, like, at the same time, this is clearly trying to cater to that upper scale, like,
I would
pipe
think so.
Smoker,
yeah.
Like, you know, with a Prince style pipe, or if that matches the timeline. I mean, it's an interesting, because like on the one hand, the art definitely communicates that. The handle does kind of give more of a working man's kind of feel to the overall box.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask, obviously this is cut plug. Given the size of this, do you think it's like several plugs kind of like stacked next to each other like brownies, or do you think it's like one massive?
Yeah, it's probably a flake is probably what it is.
Okay.
So it's probably a flake tobacco or a brick that's been kind of just almost like a ready rub, like, you know, something that's been kind of torn apart. That would be my guess. You know, typically nowadays when we see cut plug, what that means is a flake.
Okay. So, all right. I was curious.
Yep.
Okay. Great. Great choice. Do you have one of these out of curiosity?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't. I'd like to have one.
That is a nice one. All right. So since you went that one, I'll go with my big one, because, okay. It's interesting because as I was looking at tins, one of the things that you find is, as you know, the modern era, we've got the biscuit cutter tins,
yeah.
And then you've got kind of the large coins,
yeah.
And then you've got the square,
right.
The square kind, mm-hmm. You know, whereas if you go vintage, you've got all different shapes and sizes.
There was no regularity at all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to go with the larger one I have. This one, size wise, it almost looks like an oil can or like a cookie jar, like a square cookie jar. So something between those two things. And this is actually Five Brothers pipe tobacco. In this tin art, it's very yellow. It's got kind of an orange red border. It's got five kind of red horse heads looking over what is, you know, in the modern eye, looks like a big pat of butter.
Yeah.
But you got to imagine that was like the wrapped pipe tobacco inside, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just, it's very bold. It's very iconic and kind of abrasive, honestly, just with the yellow and the red kind of poking out at you.
It definitely is. You know, it, interestingly enough, Bo, this is a tobacco that is still available.
Okay, I was going to ask about that.
Yeah. And its modern iteration, you know, it has the only thing that kind of carries through with it is that it just has like this Western feel, like this kind of wet, like the print on it is almost like just a, you know, what you'd see at a saloon maybe,
right.
Or something like that. But it's changed so much from its more, you know, kind of, like you said, up front and center, these horses just kind of staring you in the face over this big pack of tobacco. Yeah, it's changed a lot since then. It really has.
This is part of what I wanted to talk about with this particular one, is that it is one of these tobaccos that's still around, right?
Yeah.
And the way in which it presents itself, if you look at the modern look of their marketing, it doesn't look new. You see what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't look like they've like, refreshed it and revived it for like a new pipe smoke or anything like that. No, it looks like a Clint Eastwood movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And not in a good way. You know, just like taking like the most uninteresting elements of how you might think that might be marketed and then just kind of like throw it on a thing. And it looks like what Midwesterners think that Texans are like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
kitschy kind of.
Yeah. And it's not even like Midwesterns trying to market to Texas. It's like someone trying to market to a Midwesterner so that they would feel like they're in Texas. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I get it.
If that doesn't make sense, listener, look it up right now. Look up what their current stuff is.
The current stuff.
Exactly. Yeah.
So if you look at the older branding with the horses that are actually there, you know, this is, it's called Five Brothers. You've got five horses on the front, which are, you know, overlooking this kind of package that it is reminiscent of like a Land O'Lakes butter, you know, package or something,
right.
But tied up with a little string. But it's really it's neat. It's just fun. It's got, of course, we love anything that involves a animal on the front of these tins. A lot of times it's always very evokes a lot of emotion from the smoker and that type of thing. But these red horses that are all these, you know, stallions that are there protecting this tobacco. It's fun. It's something just different.
When you think about, if you were to like cast your mind back to going into like an old timey drugstore and like what's above the counter, and you got all this cascade of all these various pipe tobaccos that are back there, that's standing out.
Yeah.
Like that is bright. It is standing out. It's going to get attention. And it does the job of communicating that Western Americana in its imagery while also kind of making its own statement.
Yeah, sure.
And I think that's really, really solid. You know, it's interesting. We'll get to this in a future episode. One of our next Half Bowl histories is dedicated to somebody who was really big about driving the iconography of America into the hearts and minds of its citizens.
Yeah.
And you know, and their mindset was primarily to combat communism. It'll make sense when we get there. But like when I see something like this Western iconography, it just reminds me of just not just how much that spoke to a generation of Americans, but how much that spoke to the international community as well. When they thought about America, they thought about cowboys, right?
Right.
And yeah. So like that, you know, incorporating that into the imagery here, I think is clearly done with a lot of intentionality. And when you see the evolution of it, I don't know that it has the same effect, but you could see where they leaned. Yeah. I'll just put it that way. You can see where they leaned.
Sure.
Leaned.
Yeah.
Sure. Out of curiosity, have you ever tried it?
I haven't. Okay. No, just a tobacco I'm not super familiar with, but my guess is this is a tobacco that nowadays is mostly used for, you know, like rolling cigarette tobacco type thing. Yeah. But yeah, you can find it, you know, real inexpensive for, you know, a 1 1/4 ounce pouch online. Yeah. Check it out. Maybe we need to try it. It's looks like it's a burly tobacco that's in a shag cut. And so probably something really strong, probably something a lot of folks will roll into a cigarette nowadays. I don't know if it's always been like that, but that's the impression I get for today.
All right, man. Yeah. Let's bring it on home with our last of our top three. What you got?
Man, this one, this was an interesting find. Uh-huh. And I really love the art and now, but I also now don't know what to do with it because it's very similar to something that is was recently on the market.
Okay, I'm nervous.
All right, so I have found a tin of frog tobacco. That's all it's called.
Oh, yes, frog tobacco. No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
That's all it's called, just frog tobacco.
Wait, now it should be noted, you know, when we say vintage, people think about, no longer on the market. And obviously, as you mentioned, there might be frog-related pipe tobacco.
That are recently not on the market. I say recently within the past 5 years. But
not old enough to be considered vintage.
No, that's right. That's right. So we are looking here at Frog Tobacco, American Eagle Tobacco Company. It is a very, very familiar picture of a frog smoking a pipe.
Oh, on a log.
Sitting on a log.
Yeah.
I like that he's, you know, kind of around his little, his little pond. He's got his little, I forget what those little reed thing. Yeah. The little hot dogs on top of the, grass thing that you see in little pond scenery. And then, of course, he's holding a large sunflower, which is very lovely.
Wow. John David.
I really like this a lot. And after I found it, I'm like, did it inspire something?
I gotta ask you a question.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with Kimba the White Lion?
No.
Kimba the White Lion, who
what is that?
It's a movie. It's an animated movie about a white lion cub.
Okay.
Who would go on a crazy adventure and have to defeat his uncle to become the Lion King.
Kimba
the White Lion.
I got it.
No. And it came out shortly, a few years before another
I got
Disney movie.
I'm tracking now.
Yeah.
I'm tracking. So, yeah, I'm not familiar with Kimba.
You're not familiar with Kimba the White Lion.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the one that was before that might have gotten ripped off a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know why I'm referencing that. I was just curious if you'd ever seen that.
No, it's just so interesting, though, because this is a very old tin of tobacco. It says, frog tobacco. There was also a dark frog. It had another version that apparently, you know, had some bolder tobaccos in it or something. It's got this picture of this frog that is looking right at the viewer, holding this sunflower on a log in a pond, smoking his pipe. It's just very nice. And it says extra quality, cut and dried. American Eagle Tobacco Company, Detroit, Michigan, chew or smoke. And these tins are a little more rare. It's hard to find these tins. These are very old, but it's beautiful. Again, very reminiscent, obviously, of the Throgmorton tins that we've seen from McClelland over the past 40 years and all the beautiful artwork that they've put out. This kind of a watercolor look to it that is very delicate and invites you to stare at it and kind of pick out a lot of the details and really study it, then it's just a lot of fun. This is something you would see in a kid's storybook.
It is. It's gorgeous, man. The artwork is intricate. Yeah, it does. It kind of, I like pipe tin art that creates a scene, because I think it speaks to, you know, how many people want to kind of escape into enjoying their pipe. Now, again, you put this in the mindset of like who was buying the pipe tobacco at the time.
Right.
And it's a different mindset from what we have. But at the same time, I think that there maybe touches on a bit of a universal nature to that, you know? Yeah, some of the customers just coming in, they're just, I'm just going to get my pipe tobacco and I'm going to blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I don't care what it looks like.
Exactly.
Right.
But then you've got like, you know, I think that even for the most curmudgeon pipe smoker back in the day, there was an element in time where they wanted to sit back with their pipe and be contemplative. And sure. I think that, you know, you've got these styles that kind of every single one of these brands communicate something different, you know, whether you're trying to be high class, whether you're trying to be like a working man, whether you're trying to like, you know, be, you know, chill out and, you know, just kind of contemplate things. I think this one kind of speaks to something that had truth beyond just its era and maybe kind of leaned into to the future.
It may have. And, you know, this may have been a tobacco that was more, you know, more reserved for, you know, that type of experience where you're, you know, sitting up in your library or, you know, maybe on the back patio if you got the kids down or something like that.
Yeah. Kimber the White Lion. Look it up. All right. my last one. I'm just kidding. You're the one that made the comparison.
No, I did. I mean, it's very obvious.
You can't not make the comparison.
No, you can't. I mean, it looks like a Frogmorton tin.
It's a frog sitting on a log. Yeah.
But I mean, it is a frog sitting on a log surrounded by little reeds, smoking a pipe. Yeah. And it's beautiful. It just struck me. I was like, oh, well, isn't that something?
Yeah. Yeah. Look it up. Kimbo the White Lion. All right. My last one. Here's my last one, man. I love this. Picoback.
Picoback?
Picoback.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of this?
No.
Okay. Picoback. Now, what I love about this. All right. So let me just kind of.
Can you spell it?
P-I-C-O-B-A-C.
Okay.
Picoback. And I mean, if I'm mispronouncing, I'm mispronouncing it, but that's what.
Imagine that.
I know, right? but to be honest, it's actually probably pick-a-back because the tagline is the pick of tobacco. Pick-a-back.
Pick-a-back.
Pick-a-back, right? Yep. So what I love about this, the tin itself is...
I love this. I've never seen this before.
Yeah. The background of it is kind of like a yellow-orange. It's like a flat yellow with like these orange dots all over it. Yeah. And not like perfect like polka dot, but like a mess. Like it was if like...
TV static.
Yeah, exactly. Like kind of TV static in the background, that sort of thing. You've got a hand that's reaching up holding a bushel of tobacco leaves. And then you've got just a brown band essentially running across it
with stripe.
Yeah, with the fonts, a very kind of iconically of the time fonts, but like with a little bit of flair, kind of with a, you know, I mean, you make the TV connection. I think that's apt. You might see this as part of like a radio or television.
You know what that font reminds me of?
Tell me.
Yogi Bear.
Okay.
And Jellystone.
Okay. Like, I can kind of see that.
I don't know why, but like something about that, you know, just early 1960s. I don't know. It kind of does.
Well, so we talked about the Edgeworth as having kind of more of like that circus like type of like font and like experience. This one has more of that broadcasting, you know, kind of a, you know, fresh new thing, you know, type of, you know, a font to it. And it's also very simple. Despite the busy background, there's not a lot going on here. Mm-mm. And it actually works quite well. You got 10 cent. It's a 10 cent tin.
Yeah.
You know.
miss that.
you know, this particular one says dry and mild at the base of it, or at least I believe it does. It's a little beat up.
Very mild. Yeah, very mild. There's
Mild. Yes, thank you.
Other versions that also have either a sliced plug or that it looks like they had a few different types. But it's elegant. It's very simple. Communicates what it is very clearly, and it's something that, you know, is not super flashy, but when you pull it out, I think it would you know, be handsome to look at.
So what I love about this tin is I can see why maybe this didn't do very well, and I don't know if it did or not, but it's not around anymore, so
that says something.
It certainly says something.
Yeah,
that being said, so much about this branding feels very ahead of its time. Like even the title, Pick-a-back.
Interesting.
Like the idea that like you're taking two words, you're combining them. That's like what app developers do now. You know what I mean? Like it's very simple, and it's and they're trying to establish a new word based off of like what you know.
Right.
And I just, you know, I think this is really, really fantastic. I can see why this failed, but at the same time, I feel as though like the people who kind of came up with this style were very much ahead of their time.
Yeah.
In the way they were presenting this. So
it's beautiful. I wonder there's a part of me that wishes we would see some of these names resurface, you know, even if it was like a totally different tobacco.
Yeah,
like
right.
Just to see that, because I don't know. There's just a lot of fun with some of these old names. But yeah, Pickleback.
Cool. Yeah, there you go.
I like it. That's the first time I've ever seen that.
Hopefully it's an opportunity for a lot of folks to maybe do a little diving and seeing what they find in kind of the vintage realm. And also, I always love kind of putting this out here because we've just named a bunch of different tobaccos, at least one that is still in production, but like a bunch of them that no longer are. And we've got so many great listeners with like diverse sellers and you know, access to things that we probably can't even imagine. And I would love to hear from folks. If you've happened to have one of these or you remember one of these from your childhood, like your grandpa used to like smoke this or something like that, love to hear more about it. So y'all let us know your thoughts on these particular tens. And would love to learn a little bit more from you. Hey, speaking of learning a little bit more, we got to learn some people a little bit more about our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
Man, that is right. They've got a new series of pipes that they are proud to announce called the Back to Our Roots series. And it's just a really, really elegant, beautiful series of pipes that kind of are playing off some of their best sellers, some of the pipes that, you know, have the most meaning for them and have connected really largely with the public. There's four different varieties of pipes: the Bracken, the Maddox, the Boone, and the Zenon.
Mm.
And today we're going to talk about the Boone. The new Back to Our Roots line includes the Boone, this timeless, robust, filtered, barreled-shaped bowl. Features a nickel ferrule and our rich green Danish bit. It's just really, really lovely. You know, it's one of those that it evokes the country gentleman, which is obviously very popular. It's got that big barrel-shaped bowl, but this one's going to have a little more of a warm, you know, less rustic look to it, just, you know, with the absence of that black kind of sandblast look to it. This one's going to have a little more warm, honeyed color to it, which goes very, very nicely with this high-grade stem. Man, just beautiful pipes. You know, they wanted to really make something, a line of pipes that is appealing or, you know, resonating with that affordable but high price, you know, or high high quality tradition that they have. And so the Back to Our Roots line, really cool. Check it out. You can go to corncobpipe.com and order yours today.
That's right. Big thanks to our friends at Missouri Meerschaum for sponsoring this show.
Pipe question of the week.
All right, man, pipe question this week coming in from Taylor. Taylor says, love the show and love the Squire for all the amazing blends. I'm a big Tolkien nerd. So when I first saw you guys had a Middle Earth series, I lost my mind. I mentioned the Middle Earth series because I've started doing some home blending myself to create Southern Star.
Oh, good for you.
The third and mostly forgotten of the pipe weed of the South Farthing.
Yeah.
My question is, do you have any good tips for a home blender? I note down everything I taste in a notebook, but if you have any other advice, I would love to hear it. Warm regards, Taylor Freet.
Oh, man. What do you tell the home blender, right? Like, man, just have fun with it. Get started by, smoking as many varietals as you can. Try them in different pipes, try them in different combinations. Obviously, keep your log like you're doing. It's maddening and it's wonderful. You know, the thing is, you blend these tobaccos and you smoke them. But then you smoke them 5 days later and they taste totally different because they've had the chance to marry up. And then you smoke them a month later and they're even different on top of that. And so, man, just have fun with it. Experiment, you know, as you try to find different ingredients, don't be afraid to throw in some unexpected stuff that, you know, may or may not be a good fit. And just see where it goes. When you're blending pipe tobacco, when you're developing new recipes, you have to have a lot of patience, but I think it'll be a fun journey for you. So get you a whole lot of little mason jars, those little jelly jars that, you know, are really easy to kind of hand screw down to keep your tobacco fresh, and then get after it, you know, and try them, after every few days, you know, let them sit up a little bit and try it again, take some more notes, and yeah, you'll just have to go from there. But I believe you're going to do it. You're going to do great.
Sounds good. Man, some good advice for a new up-and-coming home blender. Taylor, good luck with it, and let us know how it goes for sure. And hey, if you've got some pipe questions for us, send them into the show. That's show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that's show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick Fire with the Squire.
Quick Fire question! Ow! All right, man, quick fire questions coming in from John Coatney. Confirmed pipe smoker. This is the series is Confirmed Pipe Smokers of Fiction and Literature.
Oh, good.
Okay, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Sherlock Holmes or Gandalf?
Gandalf. Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because I guess the question is like, who would we like just who's our favorite, right? I mean, it's not a whole lot of instruction here. Although I do kind of wonder, like, who would win in a fight? I guess Gandalf would clearly win in a fight. But what if, like, Sherlock Holmes could, like, outthink Gandalf? You know, like, he knew he would cast that spell, which is why he got the crystal of a dying guru. And, you know, like...
Ah, the old crystal of a dying guru, you know.
And, to counter the magic or something like
that. Which book was
that? I don't know. Anyway, I mean... Gandalf, right? I mean, like, you got to go Gandalf.
Yeah.
But it hurts a little bit choosing someone other than Sherlock Holmes.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. Yeah.
I will say, I like the versatility of Sherlock Holmes. I like the fact that, like, Holmes has been reimagined so many different times in so many different ways. And that's kind of an exciting concept. Whereas Gandalf is, you kind of don't want anybody to touch Gandalf. Like, just let him be Gandalf. Just let Gandalf be Gandalf. Haunted Bookshop, the book, or Billy Budd, the book. Now, I have not read either of these.
I haven't either. Yeah. And I, you know, I'm ashamed to say, I just haven't either. So I'm more familiar with Haunted Bookshop, the
pipe tobacco, right?
than I am with Billy Budd, the pipe tobacco.
Right, right, right.
And so I guess I'll go with that one. But yeah, I haven't read either of these books. And so that demerits on my part.
Yeah, I'll go with Haunted Bookshop because it's a cool name. And of the two, it's the pipe tobacco I'm more familiar with.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Trumpkin the Dwarf. Or Puddlegrom, the Marshwiggle. Now, both of these characters, of course, from the Chronicles of Narnia. Do you recall who both these are? Because I can refresh your memory if not.
I don't, but I love the name Puddlegum.
Puddlegum.
Puddleglum.
Fun fact, and you may have...
And also Marshwiggle.
Yeah, the Marshwiggle.
Marshwiggles.
We actually did, as one of our first ever Heroes of the Bowl episodes, was on Puddlegum. This is
really?
Yeah, this is probably not available publicly. I think it's just in our first 100
like
episodes.
Like 10 years ago?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's been a minute.
That's amazing.
No, I very specifically remember putting that episode together and talking about Puddleglum and, like,
that's,
you know,
incredible.
His pipe and what he smoked and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think between the two, obviously him, because if I'm remembering, was Trumpkin, like, on the witch's side? I think he was on the witch's side.
Don't know.
Or maybe he wasn't. Maybe he was on Cass. I read
the Chronicles of Narnia since I was a little tiny kid.
Yeah. Yeah. I tend to go dwarf more often than not, but that being said, Puddleglum is just such a cool and original concept. You got to give it to the Marshwiggles, man. Team Marshwiggle.
Oh, Marshwiggle.
Yeah. Plus, we know that they were pipe smokers. I don't know if the dwarves in Narnia were pipe smokers. All right. There you go. We've got more of these coming from John. He sent a bunch of these, so we'll do them in future episodes. But thanks so much for this, John. And hey, if y'all have got some quick fire questions, send them into the show. That is show@countrysquireradio.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right, man, listener feedback coming in this week. We've got two this week. First one is from Davey J. He says, hey, fellas, hope you both had a good recharge in Florida. Sounds like you boys needed some much needed bro time. I really hope you found it and take care and peace be with you both. And that again is from Davey.
And with your spirit.
I mean, we did. Yeah, Miami was... Miami was an experience.
It was awesome. Yeah. It really was awesome. Yeah. I needed it. We needed it. Yeah. It was wild.
It was nice.
Had a great time.
Yeah. You say the place we're staying in is nice, but like that condo in Miami.
Yeah. That was next level.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was next level.
It was way more expensive and way smaller than the place that we're staying in right now, which is very Miami.
Yep.
And then finally, man, we've got one from Dragon Fairy who says, super excited to try Rivendell and Second Breakfast for the first time. As a female piper, I can't help but feel like I'm in Victorian times.
There you go. That's great, Dragon Fairy. Yeah, I hope you enjoy it. Man, we've got a lot of female pipe smoking customers now. A lot of big growing portion, big growing segment of our community.
So, yeah,
man, that's wonderful. Come on in, join the crowd, and man, pack your pipe full of Rivendell or Second Breakfast. We're hoping to send you some soon.
It's probably a bad question to ask here at the tail end with no research or warning, but Victorian pipes, like what style era do you know, or is that something?
Actually, I mean, you know, Victorian, we're thinking about, you know, the middle to late 19th century. You know, by this time the briar pipe had been invented,
right?
And so, but you're still thinking that Greater British Empire, a lot of folks importing things like meerschaum pipes and smoking that. You'd see some residual clay, but by this time, you know, briar had kind of taken root, and no pun intended, I guess. it had become a main feature of the pipe world. Yeah. So, you know, as far as a Victorian pipe, I think meerschaum or, a briar would be most appropriate.
Okay. Well, there you go. Yep. All right. That's awesome. Thank y'all so much for your feedback. And hey, if you'd like to send in your thoughts, of course, you can do so at show@countrysquireradio.com. You can also follow John David at John David Cole. You can follow the shop at underscore Country Squire. You can follow the show at Squire Radio, and all that information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. Well, man, we are here in Houston. We've got some great content looking ahead. You know, the one little thing that I got to throw in here, which is kind of like a fun thing, I'm just going to tag it in at the tail end. You know, I know that for those of y'all who've been listening for years, you know, when you picture John David and I creating these episodes, you see us like in a scholarly, like a room filled with tomes, like Gandalf searching, like researching the ring, like and making like plans months in advance and everything else. And to pull back the curtain, and I can admit this now because we don't do it anymore.
Right.
But for the longest time, we just like, sometimes it was like maybe 30 minutes before we started recording, like, all right, what are we going to talk about this week? What was the topic? It got a little rough there.
It could be hectic sometimes because, you know, we've got busy lives. And it's like, okay, how do we prep for this?
Exactly.
Let's go.
Exactly. And that's perhaps a little bit of an exaggeration because trust me, John David would always come in with like notes, and I'm not trying to downplay that at all. But I mean, like, you know, sometimes people would ask us in advance, like, hey, can y'all let me know what like the next 10 episodes are going to be? Or like,
we're like, no,
no,
no, we can't do that.
Like, we have no idea. But the great thing about this new process has been that we've been able to like, you know, plan 10 episodes, 15 episodes at a time. Yeah. And it's great because like, you know what you got coming down the pipeline, so to speak.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
No, that's right.
And it's it's just exciting, man. We got some good stuff coming people's way. All right. Well, let's go have a date.
See you, brother.